Hello, it's this week's Taxation Podcast for issue 4304. I'm Daniel Selwood, I'm with our editor Mike Truman.
Hello there.
And we're going to be talking about this week's articles as usual. There are three main pieces this week, all quite sizable affairs.
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
The first of which is, excuse me, Maria Kitt, who's clarifying the subject of R&D claims.
Yeah, she's got a very good piece in here, I think. It sets out the rules and the principles that you have to abide by, but she also goes into quite a lot of detail about, you know, the things that you can do to make sure that your claim will be successful and the problems that people sometimes come up against. So yeah, well worth having a good look at that. Companies only, obviously, but it's a relief that because it's being increased in value, is going to be more and more important.
But it's still a relief that many companies don't claim, isn't that true?
Yeah, that's right. And part of that is about the complexity and the problems that people have had. Part of it may well be the fact that it used to be capped off, or at least getting a repayment back, used to be capped off by the amount of PAYE and NI that you'd paid. That is about to go, so that might encourage more people to come forward. But a lot of it, I think, is just not being aware of what you can claim, how to go about it. And Maria sets that out really in quite a lot of detail about the sort of backup information that you need, business plans and that sort of thing. Looking at it, I don't think it looks too onerous. It's not simple, but it doesn't look ridiculously onerous.
More relief in the Heidi Poon article. Mm-hmm. This time it's business property relief following the Balfour case.
Yeah, I'm going to sound like a broken record here, but again, what Heidi's done is look at the case itself and the principles that it sets out, but then use her experience to look at the practicalities of dealing with landed estates in the way that you would need to. The issue in the Earl of Balfour case, or Brando as it's officially known, is that it almost suggests that you need to advise your clients to be comparatively disorganised, or certainly to sort of combine bits of their business that you would otherwise expect not to combine in order to get relief on the whole lot. Again, Heidi points out the issues that are involved in that and the fact that by doing it, it's an all or nothing approach. You know, you might succeed in getting everything allowed for business property relief. Unfortunately, you might also succeed in getting nothing allowed for business property relief. So she does go through the situations where it's better to have them separated out and better to bring them together.
But there are no clear results that you can...
No, there's no clear results. I mean, what she's, in particular, I think what she's looking at is the, you know, the Earl of Balfour was a particular case and a situation that he was actually in. People have been looking at it saying, oh, well, can we actually engineer the estate so that it will fall within these rules and will protect some properties that would otherwise be investment properties? And she does point out all the difficulties of that, in particular the fact that you're not just looking at the inheritance tax business property relief period. You could be going quite a way back.
Right, so once you've read that, have a cup of tea and then come back to Kevin Slevin, which is likely to be another whopper. Taxpaying opportunities for, or a taxpaying opportunity, I have to say, for non-domiciled parliamentarians.
Yes, this is an issue that Kevin's brought up before, and he's now looking at the rules that have gone through, which supposedly ensure, I'm speaking very carefully here, you may have noticed, supposedly ensure that MPs and Lords pay the same amount of tax as the rest of us, regardless of whether or not they are non-domiciled. And as he points out, that's actually not true, because they have the advantage, or they can take advantage of the exemption for excluded property trusts. So all they have to do is set one up before they become deemed domiciled, and they can put a whole load of their assets outside the IHT net. You know, he is writing the article on the basis that advisers need to know that when they're going to advise clients. You know, you might think that this is a bit of a scandal, but I couldn't possibly comment.
Well, just for legal reasons of discretion, I think we'll move on. And I'll just give you a quick rundown of all the other exciting features we've got in the magazine and on the website this week. Mike, you're reporting from the CIOT residential conference of recently.
Yeah, meeting points. It was a very good conference, actually. I think everybody said it was a very practical conference. Lots of points to come out of that, so we've got a couple of pages worth of really good things to think about.
And it's the first of our hopefully regular articles from our search engine optimization expert, Paul, in an editorial service we've been flagging up for the last couple of weeks. People are still invited to write in, email us with their questions about improving their site's performance. And we've had the first few questions and we've got a couple of answers. There's the poll, as usual, this time about the forthcoming statutory residence rules. And we have a guide of rates of exchange published recently by the Revenue. Anything else we need to mention?
That's it, Ike.
Only a week or so ago to go before the taxation awards.
It is, yes. Yes, getting very exciting.
So if you've not already had your suit dry cleaned, then get that done now. And hopefully you'll be listening in again next week. Cheers.